Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy party Friday, everybody. Julie Hayden here, the Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up. Chuck is at the grand opening of the Colorado Golf Hall of Fame Museum at the Broadmoor. Chuck, some of you guys may know this, Chuck is pretty well recognized as a golf historian in the Colorado area. So he's down there at that soiree. And Karen Catlin, we're going to bring her on in a minute, has graciously agreed from spouting off to kind of co-host with me. We're going to be talking, obviously, about the leak. And then guys, Budweiser just put out a statement, which I don't think is going to help them. But also want to let you know the show brought to you as always by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, HappyTrees.co, and Colorado Denver Synergenics with Dr. Julie McCallan. So Karen, first, let me say thank you. Karen is a friend. She is a fellow talk show host, has her own show. She's on everywhere too. Show called Spotting Off. And thank you for joining us on this Party Friday. Hey, Karen.
It is always a pleasure to be with you, Julie, especially on Party Friday.
There we go. Well, I want to start off talking about this leak situation. There are two things that I kind of want to talk about. And one is two questions. Number one, why is the media completely ignoring the fact that our government has been lying to us for a year and a half? That's one big issue. And the other question I want to ask, because, inquiring minds want to know, and I'm starting to lean this way, is the leak itself an intelligence operation by the American government? I mean, is the whole thing sort of another Russia hoax in the making? So let me start off, Karen. I was a reporter forever, and I would sometimes get sources, and it is astonishing to me how the media has handled, number one, they're demonizing the leaker, where one could call him a whistleblower for exposing the fact that the government was lying to us. None of them seem to care that the government was lying to us, and they all just seem to be do the bidding of the government. I mean, what do you make of it?
Well, in an environment where nobody who has any brains and who's watching what's been going on, obviously your listeners and hopefully mine, you always distrust what you hear from the media because it's reasonable, sane, and sensible. And we've seen again and again how the media lies. The media is in the back pocket of the radical left doing their bidding. So I can totally understand why people would distrust the distrust. It's almost like counter missionary type of work, right?
Right, exactly.
Everybody distrusts everything. My feeling is that I think that they're going to go after this 21-year-old kid because he can distract them from us knowing that our government lied to us. I mean, here was a kid who is optimistic and I won't say naive enough, decent enough to say, you know what? The American people deserve to know what's really going on. And that's 100% contrary to what this elitist, corrupt government thinks, which is we will know what they want us to know and nothing more.
So exactly.
I'm not going to go down that primrose path unless there's evidence to suggest that this is something. I don't think the left and the radicals and the Democrats like what's going on, and they're going to put him through a paper shredder, and I don't think it's going to go well for them.
Well, hopefully not. But I mean, there was a time, again, where I think he would have been called a whistleblower. I mean, so we found out from these leaked documents. I mean, at first, remember, they tried to tell us it was Russia disinformation. Then they tried to tell us, oh, they weren't real or it's not significant. Well, they now acknowledge it's real because they're charging him with a crime, right? So they're acknowledging it's real. And never mind the question of how did he get his hands on it. But what they showed is, number one, that the Biden administration flat out lied to us and to Congress about the fact that they said, oh, no, we don't have any American military. Well, we do have American military there. They flat out lied to us saying Russia's losing, Ukraine's doing great. Well, they flat out lied about that to us, too. And it turns out Ukraine doesn't even have enough equipment. And I'll get into what I think they're really after here a little bit later to maybe go through May. They've lied about all the sanctions are working. And now we know China's helping to arm Russia. Egypt's helping to arm Russia. I mean, everything they told us was a lie. And rather than saying, hey, thank you for exposing this lie, which maybe we could have done a few things to find out about ourselves, they're demonizing this kid. And going after him. I mean, there was a time when I was a reporter, you would get sources and sometimes there would be leaks and you would find out who was doing it. And you never led the FBI to that person. I mean, I one time was threatened with jail if I didn't reveal sources, right? And that was the way it used to work. Now it's kind of like, oh, hey, FBI, this is Julie. I've got the leaker here. You guys want to come over and nab him, you know?
Yeah, look how many leakers there were of security materials during the Trump administration. I'll tell you what I sort of think about. And again, a lot of this is speculation because we don't know exactly what the motive and the end game. I mean, we do know. But here's an interesting thing to think about, if I can articulate this. They do not want the American people to know that they're fighting a proxy war with Russia, that right. They started a war with Russia.
Right.
Now, Russia, Donald Trump says, is on the same side as China, apparently.
Right.
And our foreign policy appears to be anti-American, not pro-American. So put all those together, as well as, you know, leaving our war material in Afghanistan and doing everything to sabotage this country rather than to protect it, then what I begin to believe is that our anti-American policies, this is consistent with American anti-American policies, meaning they want to lie to people and say that we're doing the best we can and we're on the side of good. And everything they've done, everything they've said, everything they've lied about shows us the exact opposite.
Exactly. And we'll get into that in a second, too. And I read this from Charlene, the 18-year-old is part of Operation Leak, in her opinion, using him as an example to crack down on sharing information that's not state approved. I absolutely agree with you, Charlene, and I think there's more to it. But let me play, I think Glenn Greenwald on Tucker Carlson last night kind of hit it on the head with the media and the way they handle it. So, Thomas, if we could please play the Glenn Greenwald soundbite.
Honestly, I don't believe anything, and it's very hard to know what's true. We're all being spun, we're all being lied to, and we just didn't want to repeat the lies. So with that, what do you make of this?
I can't think of an incident, Tucker, that reveals more vividly the real function of our nation's largest media corporations than what just happened here. If you're a real journalist, somebody who's devoted to transparency, shining a light on the most powerful government actors when they lie to the American people and informing the public, you would be celebrating this person who stepped forward and risked his security to show his fellow citizens that the government was lying about this incredibly important war with a nuclear armed power, that we have actual troops deployed on the ground in Ukraine. There's going to be no diplomatic resolution through at least 2023, that Zelensky is planning on using our weapons to strike deep into Russia, which we were told would never happen, risking escalation. He did the job of what journalists claim to do, which is show the public the truth. If you work for the intelligence agencies, you would be furious at this person. You would hate him because he revealed that you just lied. He exposed the truth about what you were doing. What's amazing is the New York Times, the Washington Post, all the people who were at that Pentagon briefing today think the way the CIA and the Pentagon think. They hate this person. It was the New York Times and the Washington Post that did the FBI's work and found the leaker and led the FBI to him. They're demanding that he be punished. They're demanding that the government clamp down and keep things more and more secret. What kind of journalist would ever do that, would want to see a leaker exposed and punished and then demand that the government keep even more secret?
And you know, Karen, and that's it in the head, right? And Charlene says, right, Karen, focus on the so-called leaker instead of the information that U.S. is in a proxy war with Russia.
Yeah. Look at what is not being discussed. This is what they do every time. They go after the so-called messenger. They go after someone who asks a question instead of the actual material that the person is asking about. That leads me to believe that the radicals do not want this out. They do not want people knowing that they lied. And isn't it consistent with everything we've seen from these people? They haven't told the truth about lying. They lie so much.
Right. Well, and this from Leo, and this is a good question, Leo. Would someone please tell me why we give a crap about Ukraine? If there was a reason to defend them, can't we just give Putin, oh, let's say France, you know? And then from Jacob, happy pass, post pass over to Karen. One word of advice, don't take a cholesterol test today. So,
thank you, Jacob. Thank you very much.
Well, and no, I'm going to disagree with you a little bit. I want to go to the other thing I wanted to talk about, and that is to raise the question, is the leak itself an intel operation? And just bear with me here a second, because I want to walk through the timeline of this, okay? So apparently this kid, first of all, I explain to people, if you don't know what Discord is, I do, because I have a 12-year-old son. It's like a... it's kind of like a Zoom that's encrypted. So it's an app that the kids have on their phone. They use it a lot. He uses it a lot in gaming when he plays video games online. And you can text the person, you can talk to the person live, you can have a video thing, you can send links. It's kind of an all kind of thing. Yeah, Thomas is saying it is awesome, better than Skype. And my son uses it constantly, right? So there are a lot of things you can do. And you have like little, I would call them the like chat rooms, right? Some of them are public, some of it can be private. And so he apparently had been releasing, according to one of the affidavit, some of this information for over a year now. So then all of a sudden, last week, it appears on some Russian TV stations. And then it's traced and picked up by an organization. They call themselves an investigative website called Bellingcat. But Bellingcat is not an investigative website. It is funded by the intelligence operations and organizations of the United States and the United Kingdom. And everybody who works there is a spy, basically, right? So they pick it up. They tie these posts that before, no, the on Russia TV, they didn't really say where they were coming from, right? And they tie it to this Discord group, okay? That's, and they do a story on that on April 9th. On April 10th, the FBI interviews this other kid who said, oh yeah, the guy who was posting all this stuff was part of our group. His name is Jack Teixeira, right? And so now they've got a name. Interestingly enough, the very next day or a couple of days later, the Washington Post interviews that same kid. Now, I am really suspicious of that. In my opinion, when the FBI, or my experience, when the FBI is interviewing key witnesses in a major, you know, international scandal, they tell them don't talk to the media, right? They say, don't talk to the media. Instead, he does. What 17-year-old kid, first of all, in his right mind is going to say, oh, sure, I'll go ahead and talk to the media, right? The other thing I want to point out, and this is a TV thing, but when you get a great interview like that, okay, you take plenty of cutaways. Now, a cutaway is where you, the reporter who got the great scoop, is earnestly asking all the pertinent questions. And you show those pictures all over. If you look at this video, there's no cutaway. There's no reporter. You don't even hear the reporter ask a question. So I'm wondering who interviewed that kid actually, because we do know we've seen the deep state before use the Washington Post to put out a narrative. Oh, say the DNC was hacked, which they totally made up. So I look at the timeline and I'm just suspicious, and I'll wrap this up here and get your opinion. But so because a lot of it just doesn't make sense to me. Right. And so you got to ask yourself, well, why would they do this, right? Well, one thing Charlene hinted at, they're already doing it. They've already said they need to crack down on these chat groups like Discord, right? They need to censor them and they need to have more regulations and they need to get more restrictive of the gaming sites. They already control Facebook, Google, YouTube, to some extent, Twitter, and now that. And then on the other hand, I think they're going to turn around and say, oh, we need more money for Ukraine. Obviously, we were hoping they would win. But so, I mean, so I think it's entirely possible that the whole thing is some kind of intel operation. What do you guys think?
In today's world, this most astonishing world we're living in, and I talk to my dear husband all the time about it, what isn't possible? You have to be willing to allow for the possibility that anything is possible. And the scary part is that when there's a lot of discord and chaos and confusion and people don't know, that also works to these bad guys' advantage, because they fill in the blanks when they don't know. That's why I loved the video, because Tucker is so honest. He said, we don't know. We're going to speculate. We're going to ask questions. And you know what? We're going to disagree. But don't think for a minute that this lying bunch is ever going to tell you the truth. They're going to go after people who ask for the truth, who speak the truth. And everything seems upside down and opposite from what it is. I have a guy that I talk to every week on the radio in St. Louis, and he calls it hashtag Etztoy. Everything they say, the opposite is...
Well, and here's your thing. I mean, one of the things they have done is they've trashed everybody who's spoken the truth about Ukraine, which we now know from the leaks was the truth. I've got a couple of sound bites to play. Douglas McGregor, former colonel there, right? He's been saying all along, things are not as good in Ukraine as they keep telling us, right? And they're like, oh, he's a conspiracy nut, right? Well, now we know he was right. If we could please play the McGregor soundbite, Thomas.
Yes, it's unambiguous, Judge. The Secretary of Defense lied. He's not the Lone Ranger. He's got plenty of people working with him and around him who have lied publicly. So is the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs. I suspect that if you go trace it through European command, the Supreme Commander of Europe has probably also signed on for the same lies. We have to understand that this is part of the problem that has evolved or developed for many decades. The senior leadership thinks it has a duty to lie because the political leadership has said it's vital that you do so. No one stands up and says, by the way, it doesn't matter what the Ukrainians do. They have no chance of winning a war with Russia. Everyone with a lick of common sense knew that back in January of last year, for God's sakes. And then on top of that, you have this relentless nonsense coming out that the Russians are incompetent, the Russians are stupid, the Russians are corrupt, the Russians can't do anything, the Russians don't want to fight, the Russians are war criminals. 99% crap.
Exactly. You know, this from Jim. I don't think the Sleepy Joe's administration wanted this information out. And I can see it both ways. I'm just raising the question, you know, and maybe not his administration, maybe the deep state somehow wants this out. But again, you know, the people, McGregor would be telling the truth. Like you said, everything's backwards, right? The person telling the truth is the one called the liar.
That's right. And also, let's ask this question, because that's what America is. We need to hold fast to those values. America is a country where people ask questions, people dissent, people debate. Not everybody has to agree. We don't all march in goose step together the way the left would like us to. But ask this question. If we are fighting a war, which they are lying about, in which we are on the side that can't possibly win, we are depleting our military to a ridiculous and dangerous degree to fight a war against Russia we can't possibly win, then I go back to my original supposition. They're anti-American and they don't want us to win. How about that for a possibility?
Well, and I think to support my other conspiracy theory that it's on purpose, and, you know, again, I don't know, maybe Biden, well, I don't know that Biden's busy making silly statements in Ireland. So he's probably completely unaware that this is even happening. But so you have now, we're like all of a sudden, because the media is going to be complicit in not pointing out the lies. They're going to be like, oh my God, we're actually losing in Ukraine, right? So we need to step it up. And we're glad we have people on the ground in Ukraine. Let's put even more in. And the leaks also revealed China has this super duper missile thing. We need to get more of those too. I mean, if you're the military industrial complex, this is like a gift, right? Because all of a sudden we need to spend way more billions of dollars that we're spending. And this is sort of Charlene. She said, also their bad way of breaking the bad news to us that we're in war with Russia without directly coming out and announcing it. And then Jacob says, Rush used to call Napolitano Eddie Munster. Yeah, that's true. But I liked his interview. And then from Jim, McGregor is one to follow for the truth. But I think you're right too. It serves a lot of purpose. People don't know what to believe anymore or who to believe, and that fuels our whole chaos.
And it, I can't help but point out again and again that this is, well, not here. This, just think back. It isn't that many years ago when Democrats were anti-war.
Yeah.
You know, when it was perfectly okay to leak if you were leaking the Trump administration.
Right.
It is astounding. It'll never stop being amazing to me the way the Democrats and their useful idiots on the bandwagon are willing to throw all logic and sanity to the winds, abandon everything they ever thought or believed in, including, there are so many we could name and I've written about them, keep America beautiful, don't litter, but it's okay to defecate on the street and live in tent cities and trash your city. That's okay. So this willingness, you know, to be the don't trust anybody over 30, but you better take that shot, or, you know, it's amazing how all these people were paying lip service to independence of thought, were anti-war, and their betters in the Democrat Party tell them this is a good war. We have to deplete, we have to throw everything in the kitchen sink at this war, and they're all on the war bandwagon.
Right, I know. Like I said, Glenn Greenwald had a good point about there was a time when, as a journalist, you would be trying to get people to give you the truth about situations, not encouraging the government to punish the person who gave you the information and then to call for more crackdowns on releasing information. I mean, I think you're going to see that. I think that I do. They've already called for it, to more crackdowns, like I said, on some of
these
apps.
Are zombies. They're doing what zombies do, which is they've already been zombified.
Right.
And for those people listening who are monitoring a show, that's a joke. It's called mockery.
You're going to be banned now.
Democrats have no sense of humor whatsoever.
No, well, and we'll get to that because that goes to the Budweiser thing. Let me play one more soundbite, though. This is, and again, I don't know. I'm still kind of mulling over what I think is really going on here. I do. One thing I'm sure of, we don't know the whole story about any of this, right? And I hope this kid doesn't end up staying somehow in a Jeffrey Epstein cell, you know, kind of thing. But I want to play another soundbite. This is, again, from a Judge Napolitano interview with Larry Johnson. He's a former CIA guy and a political commentator analyst. Now, if we could please play the Larry Johnston soundbite, Thomas.
No. It's a lie. It's a fabrication. The Washington Post, this first surfaced with a cat, Bellingcat. Bellingcat is a front for the British intelligence. That's where the story first surfaced. Washington Post then picks it up, and The Guardian then picks it up on the same day. So this is a coordinated media strategy. This is a disinformation campaign. The documents are real. I'm not saying that the documents are fabrications. They are not. But this cover story that's been manufactured to explain how these documents came to be produced, it just falls apart. It most simply falls apart based upon one document in that mix, which is listed as CIA Operations Center report, top secret. I worked in the CIA Operations Center. I helped prepare those reports. That's an internal CIA document. No one on a U.S. military base anywhere in the world will have access to that kind of document for starters.
So what I'm wondering is if maybe this kid might have been posting this stuff on Discord, right? And somebody stumbles upon this. And I mean, what I'm wondering is if maybe other the intel operation, the deep state, so to speak, decides to use this and starts posting their own stuff. Kind of like, you know, do we think they would lie? Well, they made up the whole Steele dossier, then knowing they made it up, used it to get a FISA court warrant. So do we think they would hesitate to say, hey, we've got this sort of framework of this kid leaking information he shouldn't. That's put some really interesting stuff out there that's going to push a narrative we want. I don't know. I just I'm raising it up because I just think.
I think it's great that you do, because the other pattern that we've always seen is the whomevers, that's what I call them, you know, X in algebra, whomever.
Right.
They decide what they, the policy that they want to push, the narrative they want to push, and they create the scenario before
yes
the point. So if, you know, they do that all the time. Nancy Pelosi called it the wraparound smear. You and your husband calls it the, and it's been called the Reichstag fire. You create a crisis to fit your narrative, and then you say, we need this policy, but that was the policy you wanted all along. So the truth is that we're living in a situation, sadly, where we can no longer trust these people to tell us the truth or to even know that that we have a right to know. They don't think we have a right to know.
No, they don't. And they don't care that we don't know. And if you ask, you know, if you ask questions, you get booed. Well, do you have anything? I wanted to go to the Anheuser-Busch thing. Anything else you want to say to wrap up this part of it?
No.
Okay.
Except one thing I would encourage people, and I promised to do it on my show and I forgot. If you have seen that 1 minute little explanation by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is the first Kennedy I've liked in a really long time. He gives a short description of what totalitarians really want.
Ah.
And it's so perfectly put together. And I am delighted. I don't think it'll make a huge difference, but I think that he's going to be a thorn in the Democrat side for a long time. And to give it away, what totalitarians really want is absolute and complete control. And what we're talking about is all a part of that.
No, so I absolutely agree. I agree. Although on the plus side, what's going on at Budweiser is evidence that we can push back. Now, I don't know what's up. So Anheuser-Busch, we're talking about the whole, you know, they had that Dylan Mulvaney, the trans person on their can celebrating. Oh, I was saying the other day, Karen, I'm celebrating my, what would it be now? 23,783rd day of womanhood. Okay. Yeah. It's like, and no one's given me a contract. You
we
know,
are not even pro women on this show. There's an awful lot of people that aren't, but we are pro women.
Right.
And I am maybe a couple more days than you, but I've been a woman my whole life. Yes, indeed.
There we go. Well, and so, you know, Anheuser-Busch has been taking a hit all over the place, right? So they're finally, their CEO, which is a statement, which is, you tell me whether you think this is helpful. I won't read the whole thing, but just as a CEO of a company founded in America's heartland more than 165 years ago, I'm responsible for ensuring every consumer feels proud of the beer we brew. I don't know about that. I think they just mostly like to like it. But anyway, then he kind of addresses, they adore first responders, blah, blah, blah. We never intended to be part of a discussion that divides people. We are in the process or the business of bringing people together over beer. I'm deeply concerned about this country. We care about accountability. Moving forward, I will continue to work tirelessly to bring great beers to consumers across our nation. What? I mean, so are they happy that they...
Their crisis management team has been working overtime. Okay. Yeah. They're like, see, there are so many things I love about this. But one of the things I love is that once again, the radicals who are either the enablers of the socialists and the Marxists in this country are revealed to be capitalists. They care about money. And what they don't care about is that you have any, only they have it, right?
Exactly.
So it's money, capitalism for us, Marxism for you. And that's why the boycott and all of that and the boycotts work so well. Yes. I'm delighted that it is. And I have another point that I can make in a minute, but I like it because the machine that we've been talking about that demonizes people for daring to question, we already know what they're going to do. We already know what they did do and are doing. Oh, God, those radical beer drinkers in the deep South are anti-trans. And that's why we have to push back because we've revealed their exclusivity. Well, I'll make this point now because I'm on a roll. Okay.
Wait, let me actually have you hold it. I want to do something. Sherry from Lakewood, the reason I'm doing this is Sherry called at the end of the show Wednesday, and I told her to call back. And as soon as she called, it's call back today, and we get her on right away. So hold your thoughts. Sherry, we're gonna pick up with you, Sherry, where we left off on Wednesday. Hey, thank you for calling on this Party Friday.
Hi, thank you. It's a great surprise to hear Karen, but Chuck told me to call back with my numbers of days, and here I call back, and he's not even there.
No, he's at the Colorado Golf Hall of Fame Museum. So
lay it on us. We love you.
I heard.
Anyway,
I, in answer to his request, I had to go back and figure out how long I had the XX chromosomes, and then I had to go back to when the sperm met the egg. And no matter how many parts get added and how many get removed, the XX chromosomes don't change. They're still the same. So if you're an XX, you're a female. If you're XY, you're a male. And it happens upon fertilization. So I have about 25,500 days. But I actually wanted to give my opinion on what I think is happening.
Okay.
And I think that the corporate state is deconstructing sex as a step towards alienating us from our humanity. So the word man means humanity. There's endless discussion about gender identity, and I think that confuses the real agenda. The agenda is to disintegrate the boundary between the sexes. So there's not going to be a male and a female. There'll be transhumanism. There's no boundaries, just cyberspace with upgrades in humanity. So building yourself with machines and then
AI.
Like transferring human reproduction to the tech sector. So you're going to be able to be a womb man. You know, that's why you need all the female sanitary products in the men's restroom. Ectolife is an artificial womb facility that actually exists today. So technology can train humans to be less human.
Yeah.
And humans means an earthly being as opposed to a heavenly being. So one last thing. Remember the song, he took 100 pounds of clay and he said, hey, listen, I'm going to fix the world today because I know what's missing. You know, he created a woman for a man. We are made of clay of the earth. And the AI agenda, it's trying to make us detach from the earth, detach from our minds, detach from our souls, detach from our hearts, from our being, from ourselves, as much as possible. And we're told in Genesis that flesh was corrupted. Well, today there's people, they're intent on corrupting God's creation. The goal is to destroy or alter what God created. Because God, the creator, the father, the author, the originator, the designer, that versus the imitators and the wannabes.
Right. So, well, and if you can, I agree with part of what you're saying, Sherry. I mean, I think a big part of their agenda is to divide us from God, to divide us from anything, any sense of morals or right and wrong or sense of self other than what they tell us, I think, is part of, you know, too. And I think AI is going to be, I have a relative who works in AI and I need to have a lengthy conversation with him, but he says, Julie, he says, you guys don't know, but you people don't understand what's really going on. I don't think he wants to, he works in it. So he's not like scared of it, but he says the things that are coming down the pipe, he said, are going to be more revolutionary to society than the internet was, which is quite the statement. So Sherry, I think you might be onto something with this whole weird AI.
Remember when you were talking about the GP chat and you were showing how it has to be, it has to do with the information. So when they put in incorrect information, then it's kind of guided in a negative way.
Right.
But think about what happens when children are taught. They're in school and they're taught information that's not accurate. Then you're destroying that child because a child also retains data and information.
And good point.
Today we have politicians, tech moguls, linguistic philosophers, and they're all trying to destroy what the truth is, right? They're trying to invent reality.
Right.
So anyway, you know, like it's almost a week since Easter. And one of the things Jesus did before Easter with his disciples is he prayed to God for his disciples to sanctify them by the truth. Amen.
All right, Sherry. All right. Thank you for calling back. I appreciate it. Have a great rest of your party Friday. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Kieran. Yeah. I love it when Sherry calls.
She's such a superficial thinker, right?
Yeah.
And I love those kinds of discussions because that's really what we're facing, biblical proportions of change. Apart from any little point that I might make, I wonder if there's more you can share with us from your friend who works in AI.
You know,
anything that was positive?
I think in general, he considers it's like anything, right? Positive. But his point, and I haven't had a chance to get in-depth conversation because it's an in-depth conversation, but he simply has said that it is going to be more revolutionary than the internet was. And you think how the internet has changed things and the pluses and minuses with the internet, right? They're good things and then they're bad things. And he says some of this AI stuff, he said that people just don't understand. And I guess he's kind of getting at, there's a reason people like Elon Musk and some of those other people are saying, hey, we need to slow this down. Of course, it's impossible, but you know, it's not going to slow down. So, but we'll get him. And then I'm trying to get him to come on the show, but he's like, I'll lose my job.
I want to hear that. I mean, think what Einstein thought when he developed and discovered the atom and how the good things and bad things, but in the hands of evil people, just like I continue to be reminded of the, whoever it said, one of the great listeners will say, whether I think it was Ben Franklin or whatever, we did not create this country for an immoral people.
Yeah. Good point. It doesn't work that way. Yeah.
A lot of power. And you use it in the wrong way. And I will also say that one of the things I agree with, and I agree with several things Sherry said, is that we continue to see this push towards demoralizing the country and detaching it from either God or any kind of accountability to something greater than men. And there is nothing more evil than that, in my opinion, regardless of how you conceive God to be. If you think you're God in the universe and you need to be God in everyone else's, then you will justify anything.
Right. Other thing that's kind of interesting, I've been reading some stuff about this lately, and maybe you even said this, is like, you know, that our covenant with God, right? It goes two ways. There's no guarantee from God that everything's going to be hunky-dory forever, no matter how badly we misbehave, right? I mean, we could talk about Noah's Ark. We could talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, God has made it clear that if we stray too far, there are boundaries to, you know, the benevolence.
What they want to erase is boundaries. You know where that came from? Huh. Was that marvelous piece by Naomi Wolf.
Yes. Okay.
Great, great stuff. And she's having a change of heart on many things. And I encourage everybody to go to her site, thedailyclout.io, and read it.
Okay. Well, and this is from Jacob. If you want to get biblical, I heard a sermon where the story of Joseph parallels with Trump, such as Joseph was thrown in prison because he was accused by Pharaoh's wife that Joseph accosted her. Joseph ended up a viceroy. And from Jim Jackson saying Jefferson said a republic will only succeed if we are a moral people. Well, and back to the kind of the Budweiser thing, I think there is something good in, and you know, we always have to remember that we can push back and we have to push back and they count on us not. And, you know, Budweiser's taking a hit. And I got to think that if somebody else had a company out there that was thinking about hiring, you know, Dylan Mulvaney to be an influencer, they might be having second thoughts, you know.
One thing
I think there too is that, and here's why I think it was so offensive to people. It was a combination of, you know, rather than if they just had a trans person drinking a beer, say Caitlyn Jenner, right? I don't think there would have been a backlash, but it's this person who so clearly doesn't drink beer, probably doesn't like beer drinking. And then they had their PR person saying, I hate really all of our stupid bud drinkers and we need to get more inclusive. That's what did it. This implication that somehow you are bad. We hate you, bud drinker, even though we're selling you our beer. We hate you and we're the elites. And, you know, and I think that's what people are pushing back against.
Yeah. And the thing that I want to point out as strongly as I can is that this is yet another repetitive, constantly, always tactic that these radicals do, that in the name of inclusivity, they have succeeded in excluding everybody they hate, yeah, right?
Right.
So it is a gaslighting project. It is a misinformation psyop to tell you that since they know they're going to be in the chopping block for just out and out saying, we hate white men, heterosexuals, Trump supporters, Christians, Jews, anybody who loves traditional America, and the list gets longer every day.
They hate women now too.
Nobody who votes for us. We hate these people. So what they do is they prime the pump and they say, the reason we hate people, we're justified because we're going to brand them as the exclusionary people, the haters, the bigots, the racists. That is the strategy and the tactic that is done again and again and again. We wondered, why were they calling all Trump supporters racists and bigots? Why? Because that gives them justification to persecute them.
Right.
And they've got cover for it.
Well,
and it's a cover. One last thing. I wish to God that Republicans would be much more full-throated in saying, you're the racist. You're the exclusionary one. You hate your customers. You hate people who disagree with you. And you hate beer drinkers unless they're trans people.
Right. But you're right. And they do it. Look at the whole Black Lives Matter. You couldn't say all lives matter. They excluded that whole movement, excluded anyone who wasn't Black. And it excluded. Yeah. And they excluded Black people who didn't agree with them even. Right. So it wasn't actually to them. All Black lives didn't matter. Only certain Black. And you're right. All of the things they do, they call it being inclusive, but they're being inclusive by excluding.
It's the massive opposite of inclusive. Yeah. And that's how they get away with it. Because people can feel good about themselves about hating people as long as you say that they're racist. Right.
Well, and you virtue signal, right? You're like, I'm better than you because I have a little Black Lives Matter. Now, if I wanted to put a sign up in my yard, all lives matter, it's like, no, that's hate. It's like, how can it be hateful to say all lives matter, right? And it is inclusive to say all lives matter. It's exclusive to say only certain lives matter. And we talked about this before the show. You're right. You can tell the more when they're lying, the more they push something, right? The more they push something.
They demonize the opposition. The more they tell you you're killing grandma, the more they're killing grandma. The more they tell you you're evil for daring, you're a threat to democracy, for daring to question, which is the very definition of democracy. This is crazy making on purpose. They are there to make you crazy. So you throw up your hands and you say, this is crazy, I can't stand it anymore. Or you go along because you're polite. Right. And either way, they win. The only way they don't is when people do what's being done with Budweiser and Wayne Allyn Root and his long list, growing list
right.
of places that you either do business with or you don't, because that's the dirty little secret. They love money.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Well, and you know, so much of it is just, again, they lie. And the more they harp on something, the more they crack down. I mean, that's why they're going after Trump with everything, right? He spent 7 hours in deposition yesterday over something. And, you know, they go after him. They go after anyone who, you know, Glenn Greenwald, you know, and fortunately there are these alternate sites that people can now get. right? I mean, alternate media sites. We don't have to handle the or count on the corporate media so much anymore. And that's driving him crazy too. You know, I mean, the fact that's why they want to crack down. That's why we can't have gamer sites where, my God, we have kids talking about stuff, right? We need to tell the kids what to think. We can't have people posting things on Twitter that don't, you know, carry our agenda. They got to crack down on it more and more. But I think to a certain extent, well, I don't know. I used to be not hopeful, then it became hopeful, and now I'm just like crossing my fingers, I guess.
It is as great a challenge as I've ever seen for a country in my or our lifetimes. This might seem minute, but do you remember a time not so long ago when the media was actually trying to push good values? There were commercials that said, let's all try to get along. Let's be tolerant of one another and differences of opinion. Now, there is not an ounce of news that is not divisive, chaotic, hateful, and full of angst about how terrible everything is. That's not accidental. I just wish people would step outside of all of this psyop to realize we're being fed a load of crap, okay?
Right. And I think part of it, too, is very evil in that. And I'm going to bring up two things, and we don't have a lot of time, so I'll make this quick. But two things that happened. One, Mark Elias, who was he's sort of the lawfare guy, right? He was a Clinton person. He was the lawfare guy for the DNC, right? Has now split ways with the DNC over strategic differences. By the same token, so he's a Clinton guy. At the same time the DNC announces they're getting rid of him, they announce that they're going to go and have their convention in Chicago, which is Obamaland, right? I kind of think that also some of what they're doing, this social wokeism stuff, is like the shiny object that we're all looking at over here. And while we're kind of focusing on this and the Republicans are focusing on this, and Trump gets it, if you saw that Tucker Carlson interview, over here, Obama and his crowd are quietly implementing the Great Reset, I think.
They are. But we've seen the Democrats work on so many fronts because everybody are little worker bees on their own little thing. So we know George Soros, which, by the way, it's not anti-Semitic to criticize George Soros, who hates Jews. Okay. That being said, he has put tons of money in this gender identity garbage in which they feel justified in pushing for 9-year-olds to have mastectomies. Right. That's all a part of the agenda to make people into eunuchs, to make people, and again, I agree with Sherry, who fights the wars when you've emasculated men? Who teaches strength, independence, self-sufficiency, getting up when you're knocked down, but men and families? Who has kept America strong? It's been the nuclear family, which Black Lives Matter has said is their very first target. So it all fits very well, sadly, with totalitarianism. It's just that everybody's working on a different front. Now, my hope and prayer is that eventually, just like Russia and Nazi Germany, they end up hating each other and leave us all alone. Don't know if that's going to happen or not.
No, we're going to have digital currency. Hey, listen, we're running out of time. I want to give you a chance. I mean, it's been so great. People have been commenting saying they love hearing you. They can hear you all kinds of places. Where can people listen to you and find you?
Well, thank you. I have a website, KarenCataline.com. I do a show called Spouting Off Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays at 1 p.m. Eastern out of all places, Nashua, New Hampshire. And you can listen live. I love getting calls, but I don't get many. So you can listen live at 1 p.m. Eastern on those days and call in, especially in the first 20 minutes. And it's WSMN.live. You can get me there. I do a lot of fill-in and a lot of little guest shots. And basically, I'm just trying to live life as best I can. And Chuck and Julie are just one of my favorite talk show couples ever and have been for years.
Yeah, well, and you are great. And I want to thank you for, you know, for helping and coming on the show today. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. We appreciate it. Sherry, thank you for calling. I always love to thank the guys, you know, the great guys, because I know you work with BBS Radio also. You know, they will never censor us. They will never shut us down. And I think when you talk about the boycott, BBS Radio is one of the places that needs to be on that boycott list. So thank you, Karen. Everybody, it's time to go party Friday. We will see you all on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend.